This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we send you a hearty welcome to the latest episode of The New World Next Week, our weekly 10-minute video series where we go over the stories and give you the context and the subtext and some of the things that are maybe missing in the mainstream media. But first, ladies and gentlemen, from MediaMonarchy.com, by way of Bloomberg, banks financing Mexico gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. And we're going to take the story back a little bit and set the stage. Just before sunset on April 10th, 2006, a DC-9 jet landed at the international airport in the port city of Ciudad del Carmen, 500 miles east of Mexico City. As soldiers on the ground approached the plane, the crew tried to shoo them away, saying there was a dangerous oil leak. So the troops grew even more suspicious and searched the jet. They found 128 black suitcases packed with 5.7 tons of cocaine, valued at $100 million. The stash was supposed to have been delivered from Caracas to drug traffickers in Toluca near Mexico City, Mexican prosecutors later found. Law enforcement officials also discovered something else. The smugglers had bought the DC-9 with laundered funds they transferred through two of the biggest banks in the U.S., Wachovia and Bank of America. This is all being, and as we mentioned, coming from Bloomberg.com, they are going over this story in greater detail in Bloomberg Markets Magazine in the August 2010 issue. But continuing, this was no isolated incident. Wachovia, or as some have quipped it, Wachovia, Wachovia, it turns out, had made a bit of a habit of helping move money for Mexican drug smugglers. Wells Fargo, which bought Wachovia in 2008, has admitted in court that its unit failed to monitor and report suspected money laundering by narco traffickers, including the cash they used to buy four planes that shipped a total of 22 tons of coke. This admission came in an agreement that Charlotte, North Carolina-based Wachovia struck with federal prosecutors this past March, and it sheds light on the largely undocumented role of U.S. banks in contributing to the violent drug trade that has convulsed Mexico for the past 4 years. James, we do have some flashbacks and some other things to flesh out this story, but what a shock this is, isn't it?
Oh, yes, shocking. I can't believe it. Yeah, well, you say we have flashbacks. That's true, and we have many flashbacks that we could go to. We could talk about BCCI, which was involved in drug-related activities, or we could talk about Dick Grasso, the head of the New York Stock Exchange, going back to Colombia to try to get the FARC narco-terrorist money to invest in Wall Street and many, many other points besides. So it's nothing new, but what surprises me is that this is being covered in mainstream outlets like Bloomberg.
Which you kind of have to wonder about. The more recent history, because of course we sometimes have trouble remembering last week, let alone the last couple of years or decades, as you mentioned, with BCCI and FARC and Grasso. But just from this last December 2009, and I believe we made reference to this on The New World Next Week, from the Daily Mail, drug money saved banks from collapse. Of course, this all referring to our most recent descent into a new financial world order. But there you go. It should be no surprise that the old boys on Wall Street and wars and drugs and all these things have been going on for a very, very long time. And I believe even Catherine Austin Fitz has documented quite well the connection between money laundering and the banksters and drug running.
That's right. Well, the international financial order is based on easy flow of drug money. And without that, I think a lot of the institutions and practices we see wouldn't be able to exist. So definitely a very important story. All right, moving on to foodworldorder.com. What's up for story number two?
Our second and third stories are going to come from foodworldorder.com, one of the Media Monarchy sister sites. But first, from the New York Times, GM salmon set to move closer to your table. The Food and Drug Administration is seriously considering whether to approve the first genetically engineered animal that people would eat, salmon that can grow at twice the normal rate. The developer of the salmon has been trying to get approval for a decade, but the company now seems to have submitted most or all of the data the FDA needs to analyze whether the salmon are safe to eat, nutritionally equivalent to other salmon, and safe for the environment, according to government and biotech industry officials. A public meeting to discuss the salmon may be held as early as this fall. Some consumer and environmental groups are likely to raise objections to the approval. I would say most, if not all, consumer and environmental groups would. but perhaps that's remains to be seen. But even with the FDA, there's been a debate about whether the salmon should be labeled as genetically engineered. And if, within parentheses, the New York Times notes, genetically engineered crops are not labeled, which that's a whole other story that we cover on foodworldorder.com. But closing this out, the salmon's approval would help open a path for companies and academic scientists developing other genetically engineered animals like cattle resistant to mad cow disease or pigs that could supply healthier bacon. Next in line behind salmon for possible approval would be the EnviroPig, developed at a Canadian university, which has less phosphorus pollution in its manure. James?
What a horrific, horrific precedent this will set if it is finally formalized. And we know that genetically modified foods are bioweapons, and that they, in every test and every animal study that's conducted, we see, that's not conducted by Monsanto or sponsored by the big agribusiness, we see that absolutely every time these rodents are fed GM grains or whatever, they always have low birth rates, and they have high mortality rates, and they have all sorts of decreased kidney functions and all sorts of horrific effects. And we know that genetically modified animals are not going to be substantially different. So I think this is absolutely horrific. But we can't discount the possibility that this is already being done in some countries, because we found out a couple of years ago, for instance, that in Canada, that they announced, oh, by the way, you have been eating cloned meat for several years. We just haven't told you about it. And so we know this type of, it's almost like an inevitable march, and I hope that we can somehow stop it, but I don't know how.
I think, like a lot of things, it's ultimately going to take a massive outcry from the people who are going to have this food on their plate. We do have one related flashback to this story that goes to Time Magazine from March of this year. Is Europe finally ready for genetically modified foods? EU approves GMOs potatoes, and we do note that this GM potato created by German chemical giant BASF is not intended for human consumption. But I think this shows that this is going on from top to bottom, from farm to fork, as they say.
Yes, it is, and we need to stop that, and we also need to get labels. That's just the most absolutely basic thing that we need, is to have an informed choice about what we're eating, and the fact that they're trying to block labeling of GM foods is just insane. Insane. And speaking of insane, let's move straight on to number three, because apparently, James, you and I are insane.
And everybody out there is insane if you're choosing healthy foods. Now, this is a story that came out from The Guardian late last year, and I believe it was December 09. But Mike Adams of the fantastic naturalnews.com has a bit of an update and an extrapolation on this story, and I thought it was definitely worth posting again with the new information. Choosing healthy foods, now called a mental disorder. In its never-ending attempt to fabricate mental disorders out of every human activity, the psychiatric industry is now pushing the most ridiculous disease they've invented yet, the healthy eating disorder. This is no joke. If you focus on eating healthy foods, you're mentally diseased and probably need some sort of chemical treatment involving powerful psychotropic drugs, of course, which the biopharma industry will be more than happy to provide you. But the Guardian newspaper reported, quote, "Fixation with healthy eating can be a sign of serious psychological disorder," and goes on to claim this disease is called orthorexia nervosa, which is basically just Latin for nervous about correct eating. Now, we do have the links to the original Guardian report, as well as Wikipedia has an orthorexia nervosa entry, and you can read more and more about this. We should note that actually on Facebook.com/Media Monarchy, some of these stories go out from Food World Order, and I know on a couple different friends' pages, this story has blown up and become a huge conversation back and forth, and I think that shows both this and the previous story about GM salmon how important this really is to folks, and hopefully this is something that people will get motivated and activated on. James?
Right. Well, if there is any story that shows the fact that the psychology and psychiatry is used as a tool to make people march in line with whatever the status quo is, I couldn't think of a better example. And it's just another extension of Stalinist Russia disappearing people for being insane for criticizing the Stalinist government. I mean, it's the exact same type of thing. And I think there are very few people out there, I think, who would defend the idea that people who are concerned about what they're eating are actually crazy. I mean, one can see there might be a line that could be crossed here, but I think that that you and I and lots of people out there who are just concerned about genetically modified foods and other things are not crazy for questioning that.
And if there are lines to be crossed, I can think of much worse lines to cross. But as we wrap up this episode of New World next week, there are a lot of other really big stories in the news, and the death of Robert Byrd is something I'm going to be going over on this upcoming episode 176 for MediaMonarchy.com, is, of course, how that relates to my home state of West Virginia. So, James, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.